originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. This is Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
But it was all for Chuck McGee. Super Sabre wins the Derby for Todd Fletcher.
Basalt will give trainer Steve Asmussen career win number 6,000.
It was all have another for Doug O'Neill.
Oxbow and D-Wayne Lucas. Trainer D-Wayne Lucas, a sixth win.
And Al's Rosie is going to give trainer Gary Contessa his 2,000th career win.
And Dialed In never got to them. It was Animal Kingdom for Graham Motion.
Steve Hobby with career victory number 1,000 at Oaklawn.
Now here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Well, another Triple Crown is in the books, and we now have our 13th Triple Crown winner in the sport of thoroughbred racing. Of course, his name is Justify, and he becomes the first undefeated Triple Crown winner since Seattle Slew in 1977. And what a tour de force performance it was, not just at Belmont Park last Saturday, but blitzing through the entire Triple Crown, and quite frankly, through his entire career. Now a perfect 6-for-6, and we're going to have the privilege of visiting with his assistant trainer, Jimmy Barnes, the assistant to Bob Baffert. He's been with Bob for a long time. He knows Justify inside and out. He has spent countless hours with the horse over the past several months. And Jimmy will be with us for the full hour here on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton tonight. I'm Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, alongside Jude Feld, the Pontiff of the Pick Four. We are in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios and happy to have you with us on Sirius 219, XM Channel 201, and of course, everyone listening to us on our live streaming at horseracingradio.net all over the world. Happy to have you with us for this very special visit here tonight.
Yeah, Jimmy's a great guy. I have known him a long time. His wife, Dana, used to work for me many moons ago, longer than we all want to admit. And it's great to have him on. He's done so many magnificent things in racing, and he's Bob Baffert's right-hand man, left-hand man. I mean, he's there through all of it and does the bulk of the work, and just an amazing human being.
Bob's the one in the spotlight. Bob's the one who is constantly being thrown all the bouquets, and rightfully so, but Jimmy Barnes is much a part of that team and as much a part of that success and that story as anybody. And he is with us now here on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. Jimmy, welcome, my friend. Appreciate the visit.
Good morning.
Happy to have you with us, and congratulations. Well done.
Well, thank you. It was a wonderful ride. It was a brief, quick ride, I tell you, for the amount of days that what this horse has accomplished with six starts. It was just truly amazing.
Yeah, you know, when Bob debuted him, he said he had a plan to win the Kentucky Derby, and everybody just kind of chuckled. Yeah, like, oh, that's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when we brought this horse over from our second string of Los Alamitos, you know, he came over, you know, we knew he was something special. How good, you know, you really don't know. Until we worked him his first 5/8, and wow, this is pretty nice, you know, but you really don't know until you go to the gate and you work out of the gate. And at that particular time, we had McKenzie, who, you know, had done nothing wrong, has looked like he was been first or second or third choice for the Derby at the time. And we had this horse sitting in the wings there, and, you know, we had talked jokingly about it, you know, if we can even make the, you know, Kentucky Derby. But lo and behold, it worked out.
Yeah, it worked out tremendously well. As we know, the story ended with a Triple Crown, the 13th Triple Crown in our sports history. Jimmy, put into perspective what these 11 weeks or so have been like. I mean, he debuts, what, February 18th, and then rattles off six consecutive wins, including the Triple Crown. Put that into perspective. You've been around a lot of good horses. How significant, how exceptional is that accomplishment?
Well, you know, it is, you know, considering his first start he had to make was 7/8, which is, it's always a tough start for a horse first time to go 7/8, which he handled that with ease. And, you know, the next start was the important start, was trying to get two turns in him as soon as possible. And, you know, Santa Anita did a good job helping us get a race to develop, to get him in a one set of first condition race. And then he won that race. Once we got that race into him, got the two turns, we were well on our way. And, you know, the plan was he was originally supposed to go through Arkansas, but McKenzie had gotten hurt in the race with Bolte Oro. So once he was sidelined, we just decided to leave Justified at home and run in the Santa Anita Derby, and which he ended up, you know, winning that race. And then we were well on our way. We knew we, you know, we had him just exactly where you want him. But still only lightly raced, you know, stepping into the Kentucky Derby. That's a big feat, you know, with only three starts under your belt, and you're going to go a mile and a quarter in a 20-horse field. And, you know, the biggest day in probably any horse's career would be on a Kentucky Derby day to face the amount of people and what he's going to have to go through just to compete in that race, dealing with the crowd, the rain that came, the 20-horse field. You know, you just can't have, you can't get behind at any point. You gotta, he did everything so well. He went through the paddock good. He went through the post parade, went to the gate. He just, you know, we told Mike, just stay clean, and which he did. And that was amazing. And then to have to step up and go to Baltimore and more rain came, which was, you know, it rained like a record amount of rain in a week's time up there. And then the rain stopped, but then the fog came. So watching that race was like, you couldn't see a thing. All I could see, I saw him come by the first time, but that was it. And then you're just watching fractions and until he came out of the fog and was in front. And there were some horses closing late, but I'm not sure Mike even saw them, and he just kind of took it easy with him the last 16th of a mile. So, but that was truly amazing. And then and I was having reporters ask me, well, you know, suppose it doesn't rain, you know, and you're on a dry track. And I said, well, wait till you see this horse on a dry track. I think he's even better on a dry track, which, you know, the weather in New York was beautiful. And, you know, he shipped in there. We went up in there on Wednesday, and he went the first day to the track. It's like he was there for a year of training. He never looked at a thing, and just went out, and we did our thing in the morning, and he handled it with ease. He has got such a good mind on him, which really, really helps us as far as getting these races. Are big races, and you're dealing with a lot of press, a lot of people, a lot of, you know, just. It's over the top is what it is. And, you know, to have a horse with such a good mind that can handle all that and not have a problem at the gate and not have to worry about him, you know, having a tough time saddling him or anything, he made it so easy for us.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I could ask you a gazillion questions about this horse and the trail, but you brought up the point of his mind. And, you know, American Pharoah maybe had the best mind of any horse. I don't know, but this horse is a lot in the same ilk. I mean, he just doesn't seem like anything bothers him. He never gets flustered. I mean, you never see him even like swish his tail in, you know, distaste for anything. I mean, he's just so cool.
Absolutely. He's a little more pushy in the morning in the stall than American Pharoah was very kind in the stall. This horse, he lets you know that that's his spot, and, you know, if you're in there, he may push you on out, but where American Pharoah was a little on the kinder side. But, the thing that this is fairly, I've been asked so many times, well, how can you compare the two? I mean, they both have a huge set of lungs on them, a huge stride. And another thing, a big walk. When you walk them, you know you're really walking a, you know, horse. He's just like, you got to struggle to keep up with him when he walks just in the morning. They just have this big gait to him, and they just move right on out. And that was the same, similar to American Pharoah. Arrowgate had the same kind of walk. It was just a big, big walk on him. It was just amazing.
Talking with assistant trainer Jimmy Barnes here on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jimmy, before the Belmont, I stopped by the barn and did an interview with Bob, and he told the story of Bill Belichick being around the horse, the New England Patriots head coach. And he asked Bill if he was a football player, what type of football player would he be? Would he be a fullback because he's kind of a big bruising type of horse, or what would it be? And Belichick told him, no, he said he'd definitely be defense. This is a horse that wants to play defense. He's got that attitude about him. Bob's compared him to LeBron James as well. How about you? Is there a human athlete that he reminds you of?
I would have to agree with Bob, like a LeBron James type, take control early and try to dominate the game.
Well, he did it. He took control at the start of the Belmont Stakes. He dominated that race much the same way he dominated all the other races as well. When I called you yesterday to ask you to join us on the program, Jimmy, you said, yeah, you said you were obviously still on cloud nine, but it's a little different than the aftermath of American Pharoah. How so?
Well, I mean, just, you know, it's still very exciting and everything. It was just, it hadn't been done in so long with American Pharoah. It was just maybe a little more electrifying at the moment. You know, to have it come back again, you know, two years later, it was, you know, it was still exciting and everything, but for some reason, it just felt a little different with American Pharoah, just because people, you know, it was talked that it couldn't be done. There was, you know, people, they were going to change the time between races. They were going to, you know, there was all kinds of things they were talking about, but, you know, we just proved that it can be done. And it takes a great horse to do it. That's one of the main things.
Well, folks, if you don't think Jimmy was emotional after the race, we had the chance to catch up with him immediately after Justify crossed the finish on our coverage this past Saturday, and here's the way it sounded.
Gentlemen, I'm standing alongside assistant trainer Jimmy Barnes. Jimmy, you just won a Triple Crown.
Our second Triple Crown, and it's, you know, very emotional. It's, you know, to pull something like that off is... it's amazing. You know, two times. I mean, what a horse.
Jimmy, this...
his ass off.
Jimmy, this horse, he went on the lead. He was setting crazy fast fractions, and he was drawing away from the rest of the field. Was there ever a time when you thought this horse couldn't really hold him off?
You know, he looked like to be running really easy the whole way. You know, once he got him away from there, it might have been a little quick, but, you know, he was just a super horse this year, and... he's done amazing things, so we're just thrilled to death.
Jimmy, enjoy the victory. Congratulations.
Thank you, Jeff.
Come on, Jimmy. You're not fooling me. This was as emotional as American Pharoah. I got you on tape.
Yeah, well, you know, at that moment it is, you know, and you can bring back those feelings and you know, just thinking about the race, absolutely.
Well, you know, I always say if you do it once, you're, you know, lucky. If you do it twice, you're good. You know, you guys, what a team, what an operation you have to be able to run at that high of a level, you know, just a few years apart, and it's just an amazing feat. Talk about your team and how you guys go about doing this.
Well, you know, starting with Bob, he you know, he stocks the pond with the best, the most quality horses that you could possibly get, you know, and we're more into quality right now instead of quantity. You know, we just want the good, the best, you know, and he does a fine job. Yeah, you have to have the horse, you know, bottom line, he's the athlete, and, you know, without that, and with, you know, we have our groom, Lalo, who seems to keep getting, you know, better horses each year. And our exercise rider staff is, you know, we're used to kind of running at this level in the Triple Crown races, Breeders' Cup races. So we have a lot of experience in what it takes to keep a horse at a certain level. And, you know, just even our other assistants and just the whole team is, it's, you know, what we do. These are our races, basically, you know, all year long. We don't run that many horses, but when we do, we show up.
You know, it's a great point, Jimmy. A lot of times we'll hear human athletes who are more veteran athletes talk about the game slowing down for them. And it's not like when they first arrived on the scene as a rookie where everything was moving so quickly. Everything seems to slow down, and that helps them be so great. And it kind of sounds like it's the same thing for you on the training side. You're used to being in this position. Everything seems to slow down, and hey, you've been there, done that. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, absolutely. I mean, because with horses, anything can come up at any given time, you know, they can't tell you. So you have to really be able to read your horse and know when you're doing too much or know when you need to do a little more. You just have to read them very well because they can't tell you that there's an issue. So it's, I mean, that's where, you know, Bob and I, we have a close connection there because he's not with me a lot of times. I'll be on the East Coast, he'll be on the West Coast, But we communicate quite a bit, and you know, daily phone conversation, texting, and you know, if I have any doubt in anything, I immediately call him and say, hey, maybe we need to do something a little different. Or, but it all comes down to really reading your horse and, you know, keeping him as healthy and happy and as much flesh on him that you possibly can.
You know, Bob always makes light of training horses, and he makes it look easy when he's being interviewed and whatever. But you guys have a tremendous trust between the two of you. And if he knows that you're doing the work every day and that you're seeing things that he's not able to see if he's not on the scene. So when you guys have those discussions, I mean, does it always go your way, or does he like pull rank once in a while?
Every once in a while we'll butt heads a little bit, and you know, he'll want to do a little less and I'll want to do a little more. But at the end of the day, we find an equal medium there, and you know, we finally come up with an agreement on what to do.
Well, Jimmy, we heard your reaction after Justify crossed the finish line. Here was what Bob had to say in that trophy presentation.
Well, I mean, this horse never had a break. It was almost like getting a quarter horse ready to run every week in trials and finals. So, you know, you just have to, you know, go back on your experience. But, you know, I have the most tremendous team of people working for me, and it was so exciting. You know, we got Jimmy Barnes, probably, if they had a assistant trainer's Hall of Fame, he'd be the first one inducted, and my beautiful wife, who has to put up with all my emotions when things don't go well, and it's just been a beautiful run. It was pretty smooth since the Preakness, and I can't believe I'm here in New York winning it again.
Jimmy, what's that mean to hear Bob say those words? Hall of Fame.
Well, that's very kind of him, and I know he thinks quite highly of me. And I wish there was a Hall of Fame for I certainly would like to be in it.
What about that? I mean, what keeps you working for Bob instead of going out on your own? I know you've had a few horses on your own before, but what keeps you doing that?
You know, the caliber of horses that we train, I mean, I really enjoy this level. And, you know, I know if I went on your own, you'd have to pretty much start over. And, you know, it's every year we just seem to keep coming up with better horses. And Bob takes care of me very well, so I don't go anywhere. And, you know, I just enjoy this level. I would have a hard time going back down to the bottom and starting back over again.
Yeah, is there some kind of feeling that you get like when you go into that barn every morning and you see these magnificent horses? I mean, these are horses that people dream about having, and you're there taking care of them. Is that like almost like a drug? Is it really addicting?
It is definitely like a drug. You know, when you go in, you walk down the shed, we call it Millionaire's Row, and there's just one millionaire after another, and you know, it is a drug. It keeps you getting up in the morning. I'm very blessed to be in this position. But I've worked hard to be, you know, to get to this level. And I've been with Bob a long time now. She's coming on 19 years, but each year seems to be getting better and better.
Did you work for Charlie before, Bob?
Yes, actually, I worked for David Hoffman before that, after Charlie.
There's another guy that should be in the Hall of Fame, David Hoffman's.
Yeah.
You seem to have the right touch at the barns you work for.
Yeah, well, I've always seemed to put myself in the right, you know, just try to be in the right spot at the right time, and it seemed to have worked out for me.
When did you know you wanted to get into this line of work, Jimmy?
Oh, since I was a young boy. I started it with my father. He owned racehorses, and I worked for his trainer as a young boy, cleaning stalls, riding the pony horses, galloping, you know, then I trained a little bit on my own, but it was just too difficult. And I was in Northern California with a small stable, and it's training 5, 6, 7, 8 horses, you can be out of business in a hurry. A couple get claimed, and one gets injured, and next thing you know, you're out of business. So I just went to the assistant route and worked my way to get to Santa Anita, where I took off after that.
And he took off in a big, big way as he is now the assistant trainer to Hall of Famer Bob Baffert, and they have won two triple crowns. And how about this? The span of less than 37 months, Jimmy. We had to wait 37 years. You just did it twice in less than 37 months.
Well, like I said, it just takes, you know, we knew it could be done, and before American Pharoah, you know, we'd been close a couple of times, and, you know, I knew eventually we were going to do it. At least I wanted to be the barn to do it. And, you know, it takes the right horse. You got to have a special horse come along to get this done. And who knows, you know, maybe in the next year, maybe there'll be another one soon. Hopefully it'll be with us.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it in the 1970s where we had that run after a 25-year gap from Citation to Secretariat, and all of a sudden we had three in the 70s. And, of course, then we had to wait 37 years for American Pharoah. But it seems like the floodgates are back open again, thanks to Jimmy Barnes and to Bob Baffert. And, of course, you are listening to Jimmy Barnes here on Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton. Jimmy, in his comments after the race, after he paid you that very nice compliment, he talked about his wife, Jill, and how she has to deal with his emotions when maybe things aren't going so well at times. And that happens with every trainer, as we know. Is Bob an emotional guy?
Well, yeah, emotional, but, you know, he handles, you know, cause I'm the first one at the barn in the morning, so I'm the first one getting him, you know, usually my phone number pop up, and, you know, he's, a lot of times he thinks, well, it could be bad news, and, you know, if I'm calling you early in the morning, it could be an emotional moment coming up. because, you know, I'm usually not.
I'll remember that.
Yeah. So, but that's the toughest thing, you know, they're so fragile and, you know, and they get hurt like McKenzie. I had to give him the bad news about McKenzie when he got hurt. We were in Dubai and, you know, he knows when my phone number comes up and Jill will say, what's wrong? She knows immediately that there's a problem. She's got a special way of knowing that, when there's an issue coming up and, but you know, there's so fragile these horses and, to keep them going, you know, at this level, because these races are hard races. Just to get to the Derby, it's a tough grind. And I think what we've proven with American Pharoah and Justified is being the fresher horse is probably, you know, maybe the way to go, where a lot of these horses that are running is two-year-olds and, you know, competing as their two-year-old year and then starting their three-year-old campaign again. A lot of times they're just not around when the Derby comes around. So we've been very fortunate to have two fresh horses win it in American Pharoah and Justify.
You mentioned earlier that Justify skipped going to Arkansas and stayed home. Do you think that was really pivotal? He didn't have to make an extra trip and he could, you know, hang out at home and get some more foundation?
I was glad. I kind of wanted to stay home myself. I would have rather taken McKenzie. I was kind of leaning toward taking McKenzie, a more seasoned horse. You know, you go to Arkansas, you go there with a target on your back. It's a large field, small track, and, you know, they enter up there. I knew at Santa Anita it would probably be a smaller field. Granted, you're going to run against Bolt de Oro, but, you know, I was glad that we stayed home and then went on from there.
Wasn't he under consideration for the Sunland Derby at 1.2, Jimmy?
Yeah, you know, we nominate quite a few horses to the Sunland Derby, and there was talk about it, but I think all along the plans were to go to Arkansas originally.
It's interesting that you bring up the fact that you came into the Triple Crown season with a fresh horse, and nobody's ever come in and won the Triple Crown with a horse as fresh as you guys did with Justify, having not started since February 18th. You vanquished that curse of Apollo in the Derby, where no horse who hadn't started at two had won since 1882. That's impressive enough. It sounds to me like you think maybe this is the new way of doing things in thoroughbred racing, and the whole curse thing is far in the rearview mirror.
Well, I mean, that's quite possible, at least in our stable and the way we train our horses. And, you know, we can get it done.
Are horses different now than they were 30, 40 years ago?
Well, they may be a little more fragile for some reason. You know, they seem to have raced a lot, you know, closer together and more times, you know, in the 30s and 40s and the 50s. So that's maybe what I've noticed. It could just be a little more fragile.
Well, certainly, you know, it's it's each horse is different, so you have to like play it by ear. I mean, some horses really need those starts at two to get their mind together and whatever. But that's really the most amazing thing about Justify is that, you know, he came in with this great attitude and a light resume. He ran against more horses in the Kentucky Derby than he had faced in his entirety up till then. I mean, that was
that's the tough thing. Yeah, when you go from running in 5-6 horse fields and all of a sudden you're running in a 20 horse field, you can't have any mishaps. You have to stay clean. You need the trip. You have to have the trip, or you know, you get pushed back and bottled up somewhere, and then really have to overcome it.
Yeah, for a big horse, he really breaks well, doesn't he?
You know, if you watch him in the gate, there's never a moment where he moves. He just stands there perfectly straight. It's amazing. It amazes me. He just stands there and just waits. And then he comes out of there quick for a big horse.
Jimmy, how good is Mike Smith?
Well, he's our money man, big money Mike, you know. On these particular days, you need a rider like that. You can't have him come out. I can tell when the jaw comes out. I said, oh, geez, Buffett. Seems a little nervous, this guy. You know, I don't know if they're ready for this. But you need a guy that's familiar with these type of races. You have to, you know, you can't be nervous at all. You have to be cool.
Mike said in the post-race press conference that he was more, that the nerves were worse before the Preakness than they were before the Belmont, to the point where he was actually able to take a nap during the afternoon on Saturday before the Belmont Stakes. Was it the same for you? Was it a little more nerve-wracking at Pimlico than at Belmont?
You know, the whole trip, I really don't get too nervous at all, you know, just because we've kind of experienced all that. I'm more anxious. You know, I don't have to ride the horse, so I can see where you'd be a little more nervous. So, you know, my job is I just got to get him through the paddock in one piece. I got to get him saddled, make sure, you know, and get him on the track with the rider on. Then my job's done. So I could see where his, you know, you might have a little more nerves, you know, you have to, because he's got such a big load to carry. But I hadn't heard that, but it doesn't surprise me. But it was a strange day that day in Baltimore. The track was weird. It was wet, but it was real sticky. And I saw horses coming back all day because we're all stabled in the same barn there, and they were blowing. I mean, blowing hard coming back. So it was a real sticky. It wasn't deep, but it was just kind of a sticky mud. I think he blew more in that race than the Derby or the Belmont, actually.
We are visiting with assistant trainer Jimmy Barnes. He is the assistant to Bob Baffert. They have trained the 13th Triple Crown winner in the sport of thoroughbred racing, Justify. We're going to get to a short break. We will come back, continue to talk more with Jimmy Barnes. We'll talk to him about some of his other moments that he's experienced while working with Bob Baffert that are always going to stand out to him. We'll do that in the second half of the show. Stay with us as Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton.
Selected sales, superior results. Nominate now to Fasig Tipton's selected yearling sales, which are stronger than ever. The July sale for precocious athletic yearlings, the prestigious Saratoga sale, where leading buyers have searched for their next champion or classic winner for nearly 100 years, and the New York bred sale, which offers the cream of the New York bred crop. Learn more and nominate at FasigNoms.com. Fasig Tipton selected yearling sales, stronger than ever.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win, going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
It all started with a dream. A dream to be the best. To breed the best. To race the best.
Super Saver Russell Meyer, what a finish to the class.
And to stand the best. Windstar Farm. Dedicated to the dream.
Kentucky Downs is home to 5 outstanding days of racing beginning September 1st, highlighted by 14 stakes races, 4 graded stakes, and a record $10 million in purses, with increases to the Calumet Farm Kentucky Turf Cup and the Taurus Mile. The new Kentucky Downs Juvenile Turf Sprint will serve as a stepping stone to the new Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint, and all Kentucky Breds race for $130,000 in maiden events and $145,000 in allowance races. Kentucky Downs, beginning September 1st. I'm here with Dr. Jim Chiappetta of Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, exactly how do the Flair strips work?
Mike, remember that a horse only breathes through its nose when it's running. About 50% of the resistance to getting the oxygen through the nose and into the lungs is at the nasal passages. They're the narrowest part of the upper airway, and that's where Flair strips work. The strips are proven to help prevent the nasal passages from collapsing, so horses breathe easier and get the oxygen they need more efficiently.
Learn more at flairstrips.com/learn.
This is Trainer Talk, presented by Phasic Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Frosted, his second with 1/8 of a mile to go. American Pharoah's got a 2-length lead. Frosted is all out at the 16th pole. And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Gronkowski and Hofberg trying to run him down. Vino Rosso is fourth, a 16th to go. Justify is still there. Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect, and now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Larry Colmus with the call of the 2015 Belmont Stakes with American Pharoah, and then, of course, the Belmont Stakes this past Saturday here in 2018 with Justify. The one common denominator in both of those victories is the team of Bob Baffert and his assistant Jimmy Barnes. And Jimmy, our special guest here on Trainer Talk, presented by Phasic Tipton tonight. We're going to get back to Jimmy here in just one moment, but want to remind you that 2018 marks another highly anticipated season for Woodbine Racetrack. Now, the highlight of the meet is the 159th running of the Queen's Plate. That's the first jewel in Canada's Triple Crown of Thoroughbred Racing. It's slated for June 30th. Of course, we will be there to bring you all that coverage here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. That will be followed by the Rico Woodbine Mile on September 15th and the Pattison Canadian International on October 13th. And Woodbine, of course, making a lot of noise north of the border with quality racing, a stakes-laden schedule, and an arsenal of wagers that are bigger and better with guaranteed pools and so much more. All you have to do is visit woodbine.com to learn more and follow at WoodbineTB on Twitter. Well, Jimmy Barnes is not at Woodbine. He is currently at Churchill with his Triple Crown winner, Justify. The plan is to have Justify come out Saturday night at Churchill Downs at some point so the fans can pay tribute to the Triple Crown winner, and that'll be pretty special. It is Stephen Foster night. We'll be there with all the coverage coming up at 8 o'clock Eastern. That's when we hit the airwaves, Sirius XM 93 Saturday night. And Jimmy, looking forward to covering that particular event when Justify comes over, and hopefully putting people there with us and with you and with Justify. Nope, did we lose Jimmy?
Nope, I'm here.
Oh, okay. There's Jimmy. There's Jimmy. I thought we lost you for a minute. Yeah, that should be special. Looking forward to being over there for that moment. They did it with American Pharoah, and I can remember the reaction from the crowd that was there on Stephen Foster night. It was pretty special.
Oh, they really enjoy it. They love getting a close look at the horse, and there are a lot of fans turned out. So I'm sure it'll be the same thing, because we've had a steady flow of fans coming by the barn to try to get a glimpse of him. So it's nice that Windstar and China Horse, they're allowing us to do this.
You're quite welcoming too when people come to the barn. I mean, you guys do a great job with the fan appreciation and that kind of thing. I know sometimes for you it's a lot of responsibility and something that you probably don't relish doing, but you do it with a smile on your face.
Well, we try our best, but there are certain times you just can't do it. You know how just trying to run a stable, because it's just so overwhelming at times. It just never ends. But as long as the horse is cooperating, if he's not getting too nervous or upset, or we're more than happy to do it.
Jimmy, you joined Bob's team in 1999. It was right after Silver Charm and Real Quiet. Look back on these past 19 years or so. What are some of the moments that stand out to you for whatever reason?
Well, that particular year, we won the Oaks with Silver Bullet Day. And I think that's the year, if I'm not mistaken, we had General Challenge at, in the Kentucky Derby. And it was a horse, my first Derby, and I thought there was no way we could, you know, this horse is just a freak. But he couldn't cross the Mississippi. He just didn't handle it. He didn't like large crowds. He didn't travel well. We ended up, I don't know where he even ended up in the race, but we ran a filly. She was fourth, and I was a little disappointed. I thought we would have ran a lot better.
Excellent meeting, but, right?
Yeah, excellent meeting.
Yeah.
But then we, you know, we followed up with, we had Point Given the next year, which I was convinced we were going to win the Triple Crown that year. And it just, they went so fast early. You know, we ran a horse, Conger Reed, he ran in the same race. And they were just setting blistering fractions. And Point Given was probably just placed a little too forwardly in the race. And, you know, Conger Reed held on to be third. Monarcos ended up winning the race, came from last. So, but then we went on to the Preakness, won the Preakness, won the Belmont by many. But, you know, if you don't win the first one, there's no Triple Crown. So, and then went on to win the Traverse that year also with that horse and the Haskell, which, you know, that's another feat that we've done. We won 8 Haskells, which is just incredible. I don't think anybody ever beat that record as far as the Haskell wins. For some reason, our horses traveled in New Jersey well and just tear it up on the track up there.
Yeah, the thing about Monmouth Park is it's kind of like Del Mar, that the horses get that sea air and they get rejuvenated for some reason.
Something, you know, it's just incredible. We can go in there. We've won, I don't know, like still $10 million races up there. With the Breeders' Cup, we won a couple, and then eight Haskells. It's just amazing. And then, you know, there's been a few slower years, but then, you know, there's other horses that come around, like Arrowgate. You know, what he did in the 10 months that he was running was phenomenal. He just happened to miss the Triple Crown races, but to earn 17, almost 18 million in less than a year was just phenomenal. And, you know, the race that he put in Dubai for the World Cup was just, you know, that was amazing. It started off terrible because, you know, you watch the break and he doesn't break and you're thinking to yourself, oh, we came all this way and this is how it's going to go down. We're not going to break. But for then for him to rally and come on and win the race by beating Sunrunner was just, that was a very emotional night that night. That was something special.
I said that might have been maybe the greatest performance I've seen from a racehorse on the big stage in a long, long time. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That was, I get mad at myself because I gave up on him so early. And, you know, for him to pull off what he pulled off was just amazing.
His Traverse was pretty special.
The Traverse, you know, I mean, there's so many of them, I can't even.
I'll never forget looking at the board and seeing the 159. I go, that's just unheard of, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, 11 to 1.
Yeah.
Who would have known that at that time, right?
Yeah,
you never exactly. Get 11 to 1 on him again. Jimmy, we talked about the mind that Justify possesses and the size that gives him, you know, such a. Well, let's call it an advantage because he is so big and strong, and he seems to use that to his advantage well. What made Arrowgate so good?
Well, Arrowgate, he didn't have quite the, you know, he doesn't have the size or the weight that that Justified has, but he has the stride. He has the heart. He has the lungs. His mind, what, you know, he was a little more on the nervous side. We had to, you know, do a little more work with schooling and calming him. He ran with earplugs. Where most of our other horses, we take them out. He ran with earplugs. And it just was a way to keep him a little more calm. But I would say their stride, because you can always spot them on the track. You spot these good horses. You know, when they're out there training with 100 horses, you can see them at any moment because they move with such ease and they just glide around the racetrack. American Pharoah, to watch him work was just amazing. Just every work was just, wow. He just wowed you to watch him.
Jimmy, take me inside of your house. What's it look like there? Is there a special trophy room? Are there there pictures of great horses hanging all over the place? What's it look like in your house?
We have an office in our house. We're running out of space. It's kind of overflowing with pictures. I'm sure it's not as glamorous as Bob's trophy room, but you can go in there, and it's pretty amazing when you look around at what you've accomplished over the last 18 years and the races that we have won, and it's truly amazing.
What's the favorite piece of memorabilia, the most special piece that you have in your house?
Oh, well, I have a lot of American Pharoah memorabilia, and I like Tony Givens' wind pitcher because it had President Clinton was in it. That was pretty special. We got to meet him. And there's all of them have special moments, and you know, I can bring back in my mind that particular day when they ran. So it's hard to pick out just one.
Yeah, how is that for you? I mean, you know, Abel Tasman won a Grade One, you know, on Saturday, and you know, for you guys, it's just like another race. It's like, oh yeah, we won the third. You know, it's surreal, especially for somebody like me who never had that caliber of horse. You know, I go, this is just crazy.
Going back to last year when we. We didn't have a Belmont horse, but we brought four horses there. We Abel Tasman won the Acorn. We won the Woody Stevens. We won four. We brought four horses. All four won. More Spirit won the Met Mile. It was just amazing. And then we go to New York again this year and win. Abel Tasman wins the Ogden Phipps. Opportunity wins the Brooklyn Handicap. And we were very excited for Opportunity because. You know, you don't get a chance to run it. The mile and a half distance for him is probably his best distance and further. So you don't really have a chance to run in those type of races very often. And he certainly loves New York. He loves the big, deep, sandy, big tracks. And it gives him an opportunity to show what he can do. You know, because he's getting up in age and he's, you know, earned close to $5 million now. It's just, you know, he's just a trooper, that horse.
Yeah. It's kind of a quiet $5 million, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then to top it off by winning the Triple Crown, winning the Belmont. So we ran seven horses there in the last year and, won seven races, which is hard to do on those days. You know, it's what we call him Big Day Bob. he likes to show up on those days and, you know, you get recognized on those type of days. That's people are watching those races and, you know, it's all about winning. Winning is everything. And when people see you win, you really show them what you can do.
I always think about you, though. I mean, a lot of people, oh, yeah, you know, you're with Justify all the time, and they're always showing you with Justify. But you have all these other horses that you have to train, too, and get ready for these races. You're not just a one-trick pony.
Yeah, you're not just there with one horse. You're over there in the paddock thinking, well, how much time do I have to get back to the barn to get the bandages on the next horse to get him? You know, because we're in a, you know, when you ship in like that, you're coming with a light, small staff. It's not like you're at home. Where you have foremen and, you know, and other people that are getting horses ready, you got to, you know, make sure you get back to get the other horse bridled up and ready to go if you're not late. So yeah, it is a little. It's nice to run a few, so you don't have to sit there and think about the Belmont all day. But on the other hand, you get by the end of the day, you just want to sit down and, you know, just take a break from it.
Yeah, Jimmy, I remember catching up with you, not myself personally, but I believe it was Jeff Bloom who caught up with you on the walkover this year at Churchill Downs as you were coming to the paddock for the Kentucky Derby. And Jeff told me it was one of the craziest walkovers he's ever experienced because there were people walking in bare feet, I guess because of the track conditions. There was a lot of things going on that aren't normally going on. And he said Jimmy was a total pro. He was trying to stay focused, but he was trying to keep an eye on his horse. How crazy was that walk?
Well, people were all over the place. It was crazy. There was one woman that had obviously drank too much. They were carrying her by her shoulders, and she ended up right in front of us. So we had to maneuver the way around her. I just got away from everybody. And he handled it well. But, you know, you just have to do, you know, you see something that we got to make things look over here. And, you know, so when we went to the Preakness, Bob and I discussed the walkover because there's a lot of people there, and there's a lot of people screaming and yelling, so we decided to go over first. So I talked to some people and said, hey, when you're getting ready, when you're going to tell us to go, we're going to go. And we just went first and got out in front of everybody and left the crowd screaming behind us, which really helps. You don't want to get held up along the way. And we were marched right over to the paddock for the first ones there, so that made it easy. The same thing in New York. We went, I made arrangements just to get out of there first and get in the paddock. You can get held up in those large crowds, and people are screaming and yelling. And I just wanted to get over there, you know, keeping nice and quiet.
Talking with assistant trainer Jimmy Barnes on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jimmy, you had mentioned the name Jimmy Carter being in that win photo of Point Given that you have at your house. Who are some of the other...
Bill Clinton.
Oh, Bill Clinton. I'm sorry. I said Jimmy Carter. Bill Clinton. Who are some of the other notable personalities and celebrities you've had the chance to meet over the years?
Well, just recently we met Coach Belichick in Baltimore. He was with us in the winner's circle. We went out to dinner. We were sitting at a table next to him. And just numerous people over the years. Just been too many to even try to even think about.
Well, it's one of the most interesting things about our sport is you can meet the queen, you can meet sports people, actors, the whole nine yards, and you would never get a chance to do that if you chose another career. It's really unique.
No, absolutely, and what a career to choose, because it's people. That's what you do for a living. But it is it's a 7-day a week job. It's every day. It's your life basically. You have to find time for your family, and probably I don't find enough time for my family at times. But they all understand with Dana working for us, and It's a 7-day a week job, and she understands that.
Yeah, how ironic would it have been if Gronkowski would have denied the Triple Crown and Justify with Bill Belichick sitting there on the Justify team? That wouldn't have been right, Jimmy.
No, that wouldn't have been right. No.
Thank God it turned out the way that it did.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Absolutely. That horse ran a huge race. He didn't break that well, and he came from last, I believe. He came from way back. And he certainly closed. He was the only one that did close, I believe.
Yeah. No, he ran a tremendous race. And, of course, no match for Justify as he was able to hold him off and everybody else. Jimmy, let's go back to last year. And you experienced that fractured pelvis in that freak accident when your pony went down and you fell off. And you were away from the game for a very long time. How difficult was that for you?
Well, it was very difficult because I'm, used to being there every day. And, it was right just at the worst. There's never a good time. There's always a race coming up. There's always a race. So, but it just happened to be we were supposed to go to Parks with West Coast and Abel Tasman. And that happened on a Sunday, September 17th. And Bob was flying back and he got a call saying, asking about me. He thought I had a heart attack. But come to find out that the pony had do the same thing for 40 years, every day, 365 days a year, 8 times a day. You back up with the set, tell everybody what they're doing, and I went galloping off to the front side, and the horse just took a bad step and just went head over heels, just somersaulted on me, and broke my pelvis, spread it open like 4 inches in the front, and broke the left side, and I had some internal bleeding. They had to end up putting 6 screws, a plate, and I have an 8-inch screw across my back. So I was, laid up they couldn't hold me down too long. I was probably at home for a solid month and a half at the most before. Once I got on my crutches and I found that I could, I was getting around the house with ease. And I had Dana took me to my first doctor appointment. My second doctor appointment, I drove. So I said, well, if I can drive to the doctor, I can drive to the barn. So I just started coming to the barn in the morning, and I'd go in on my crutches and I'd just sit in the office, and Bob called me the dispatcher. because I had a radio. And I would, you know, just tell them on the radio, okay, so and so is coming out, who the workers were, and I would do phone calls and do the chart work and stuff and that kind of work, and wouldn't really leave the office area until and I probably did that for. Well, until the Breeders' Cup, and then we moved to down to Del Mar for the Breeders' Cup, and I was still on crutches, and I still wasn't, you know, I wasn't handling horses at the time, but I was able to, you know, do the set list, line things up, and get. And I was still the dispatcher during the Breeders' Cup, basically. So, but then as time went on, you know, I got to where I could walk, and I walked with a cane, and then I eventually Bob got me a golf cart, and a very nice golf cart to say, and I started going up to the track at that time, and that was probably December, and I stayed on ground though until, well, I just started getting on horseback again before the Derby, probably like April 26th.
Did you miss riding the pony?
Well, you know, it's just a little different in the grandstand, you know. I'm more of a hands-on kind of assistant where I want to be at the gate. I want to be over here. I want to be over there. You know, the grandstand, you can do, you know, you can see the workers much better and you can clock much better. So I enjoyed that. But, you know, I'm kind of more of a hands-on guy that wants to be out there and be right with them, be up close. But I enjoy being back on the pony.
Yeah. Were there any anxious moments when you got back on the pony for the first time after the accident?
No, not at all. You know, you're aware of, you know, you might, you know, the pony I was riding at the particular time, he was a reining horse, and they travel with their head really low. So you really look good. You're sitting back in the saddle, and you got kind of a loop in your rein, and you're just looking, you know, you it's like sip champagne. They're so smooth. You're going along, and he just, I don't know what it was. He just didn't take a proper step and just somersaulted. And in a Western saddle, it's tough because you can't really get away from it. And it just came down on top of me, and he came down on top of me, and it was just a mess.
How'd he come out of it?
He was fine. He got up and trotted off. He was fine.
Is that still the same pony that you're on today?
No, actually, he's in a farm in Stephen Solvang, and they're just riding him. But I have one of our older ponies that we had, Sonny. The two Triple Crown ponies now, Smokey and Sonny. So he's becoming quite famous himself.
Yeah, he's a social media darling.
Yeah, absolutely. They love him. He's a little guy, you know, he's much smaller than Justified is. But he really respects that horse. He never bats an eye at him, never switches his tail, never if he bumps him for chance, which they get along very well. It's amazing because I'll bring him out and he'll like nicker for him and Justified will, and he's really buddied up to him well.
Really? How important is that relationship between the racehorse and the pony?
Well, it makes it a lot easier for me. It's nothing worse than having the two go at one another all the time when you have to be with them so much, as you know, as we're escorting them out and escorting them home. You know, because there are certain horses that get a little pushy and they start bumping into the pony, and the ponies really, some of them just don't like it, and they'll try to reach around and nip at them or maybe even kick them. So it makes it much easier for me knowing that he really likes him and would never really do anything, you know, turn around to try to bite him or even kick him. So like I said, it makes it much easier for me.
Talking with Jimmy Barnes here on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network. As you've been hearing, the 13th Triple Crown winner in the history of the sport is Justify, trained by Jimmy and by Bob Baffert. They do this together as a team. He's talked about that throughout the program. If you missed any portion of the show, all you have to do is go back to our website. That's horseracingradio.net. You can check out the podcast of this show and all of our Trainer Talk shows. They're there for you, horseracingradio.net. Jimmy, just a few minutes left here before we have to wrap things up. I always like to end these programs by asking trainers to tell us a little bit about themselves that people might not know. So I know you're 24/7 at the racetrack pretty much, but when you do get that rare opportunity to get away, what other things do you enjoy doing?
Oh, geez, that's a tough one. When I get away, really, I'm just kind of a homebody. I'll do, you know, work around the yard or, you know, rest, do a lot of sleeping.
Yeah, because you don't have a time for a trainer's nap, right?
No, I usually don't have too much time for a nap during the day. But the older I get, the more it seems like I seem to rest more.
Yeah, well, I don't blame you, Jimmy, and you deserve to get some rest now, but you've earned it, my friend. Well done. Thank you for being with us here today. It's been a delight to hear your story, and all the best moving forward.
All right, well, thank you very much.
All right, thanks, Jimmy. Jimmy Barnes here on Trainer Talk, presented by Phasic Tipton. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Flair Equine Nasal Strips, one of the sponsors of this program. We'll get those out to Jimmy and to Bob and let them start using the Flair strips. Boy, what a great interview, huh? What a great story he is.
Yeah, well, Jimmy's a great guy. I've known him a long, long time, and he's always very personable and goes the extra yard, you know, when you need something. He's always right there. He's never, too busy to address your questions or your needs. He's a first class guy.
He told us during the commercial break there that his phone was ringing during the first half of the interview, and it was Bob beeping in. And I said, "Well, do you want to go call him back?" He says, "Nah, I'll get him after the show." So, Bob, we apologize. We know Bob listens to these programs. We're sorry for keeping Jimmy for the hour, but what a fun visit.
He gets him the rest of the year. So, Bob's I'll tell you what, I didn't bring this up on the show, but when Jimmy was gone, you could see it was taking a toll on Bob. Bob had to do everything.
Yeah.
And I mean,
how important is a good assistant like that? You know better than anybody.
It's vital. I mean, it's vital. There's so many things that go on during the day, you know, and I had a small stable. I also always had an assistant, but if you have a stable like Baffert's and there's so many clients and you know, the people that you're training for are not used to being put on hold, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those situations where, you've got to have somebody there to take care of business when you can't. And Jimmy's like the ideal guy.
Yeah, he's done it very, very well. And like you said, when he was gone last year with that injury and sitting at home, it's a big loss for that team. And you can hear in his words how much he wants to be there. You know, I think it was killing him to be sitting at home. He wants to – this is all he's ever known.
Yeah.
He wants to be there. He wants to be around this operation.
And he's just – you know, he's super dedicated. And his love for the horses is immense. You know, he just – he loves being around the animals. So – That's the number one thing.
And before we sign off here of this program here tonight, I do want to tie this all together to the Bob Baffert team. I want to pass along our sincere condolences to racehorse trainer and owner Bodie Miller, who sadly lost his daughter in an accident at a pool party this past week. She drowned, and just absolutely horrific, horrific tragedy. And Bodie Miller, the Bafferts, very, very close. Bob actually named his son Bodie in honor of Bodie Miller. So, Bodie, our thoughts, our prayers, just horrific.
Yeah, that was a terrible tragedy.
Yeah, it certainly was. All right, well, thanks for being with us. We hope you enjoyed this visit with Jimmy Barnes. If you missed any portion, head over to our website, horseracingradio.net. There will be a podcast available for you to listen to at your leisure. It's all there, horseracingradio.net. For our producer, Lee Delapina, for Jude Feld, and our special guest, Jimmy Barnes, I'm Mike Pena. We'll talk to you next week on Trainer Talk, presented by Phasic Tipton.